This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كلام الله عز وجل وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. All praise is due to Allah. We praise Him, we seek His aid, and we ask for His forgiveness. We seek refuge in Allah from the evils of ourselves and the evil consequences of our actions. Whomsoever Allah guides, none can lead astray, and whomsoever Allah leaves to go astray, none can guide. I testify that there is none worthy of our worship and devotion but the Almighty Allah alone. And I testify that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam is his servant and his messenger. O you who believe, fear Allah as he should be feared and die not except in submission and surrender to your Lord. O mankind, be dutiful to your Lord, who created you from a single person, and from him he created his wife, and from them both he created many men and women, and fear Allah through whom you demand your mutual rights, and observe the rights of your kin. Surely Allah is ever and all watcher over you. O you who believe, keep your duty to Allah. Fear him and speak the truth. He will direct you to righteous deeds and will forgive your sins. And whoever obeys Allah and His Messenger has indeed attained a great achievement. The best words are the divine words of Allah. And the best guidance is that of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And the worst things in the religion are the newly invented matters. For all the newly invented matters in religion are considered heretical innovation and bid'ah, and every bid'ah is misguidance, and every misguidance leads to the hellfire. Our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after many years speaking to the people of Quraysh, advising them in goodwill, from the bottom of their heart, from the bottom of his heart, inviting them to the truth, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, away from polytheism, into tawheed and monotheism, the worship of Allah alone, away from darkness and into the light, saving them from the path that certainly leads to the hellfire, inviting them to the path that leads to eternal bliss and prosperity in Jannah. Yet he was met with disdain and resistance, ridicule, harm, and enmity. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam remained patient. And after about 8 to 9 years, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam decides that we should explore more territory, new horizons. And he seizes the time of Hajj, as the Arabs still adhered formally in name to the religion of Ibrahim alayhi salam and Ismail alayhi salam. So they maintained the Hajj despite the foreign and alien practices that they introduced to the Hajj, to the pilgrimage. So the Arabs would flock to Mecca from all around the Arabian Peninsula to perform Hajj. And the Prophet ﷺ decided to take this opportunity and approach the camps of the pilgrims one at a time, speaking to them about Islam and about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and about the fact that Quraysh, who were considered to be the leader of the Arabian Peninsula, and everyone looked up to Quraysh, especially in religious matters. The Prophet ﷺ opened up about this to those people, and he would meet one tribe at a time. And he reminded them of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, speaking to them about the true religion of Ibrahim alayhi salam, warning them against polytheism and the worship of others besides Allah. Invited them more to a moral code, about an upright way of life rather than the corruption that was wreaking havoc in the life of humans in general at that time. So for 3 years, the Prophet ﷺ was approaching the pilgrims patiently. Sometimes he was receiving positive responses, mildly positive responses. And sometimes he received outright and blatant rejections. Yet the Prophet ﷺ never gave up. He was not searching for an immediate result, because he knows great matters, noble missions are strategic in nature. Don't expect things to turn and change overnight. That's not the nature of noble missions and causes. Why? Because they feed off of sacrifice. Noble sacrifice for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if the price is not paid, there is no revenue. Imam Shafi'i was asked, and we quoted him on that many times. A person approached Imam Shafi'i and he said, "Meta, ma huwa khayrun lil abd? An yumakkana am yubtala? Which is better for the Muslim, for the servant? To be empowered, to be given dominance and power and authority, or to be tested, to go through trials, to be persecuted?" Imam Shafi'i pointed to the fallacy in this assumption, that the question itself was wrong, was built on a false idea. Imam Shafi'i said, "وَهَلْ يُمَكَّنُ حَتَّى يُبْتَلَى?" Would a person be given authority and power, the believer, would he be given power and authority until he pays the price for it? So don't expect to reap the fruit of a tree whose seed you have not planted. That's the attitude of the Muslim. And he knows this is how Allah deals with the creation. And it's a common disease among us today. It's because of the poor quality of education that we are exposed to from a young age. Consistently, one phase after the other in our growth, we want to reap a fruit that we have not planted, that we have not contributed to. And if Allah doesn't grant us that fruit, we become impatient. And again, as we said repeatedly many times, Islam is not an empty slogan. It's a way of life. It's a way of life. Islam is not an empty name that we want to put to be the uppermost in any way. No, there is Islam is a way of life. Islam is guidance. Islam is moral code. Islam is the truth. And it has this, the prescription for how to help it and support it embedded in it. The morality of Islam, the practicality of Islam, the cutting of corners and the cheap ways and the cheating of achieving quick results does not apply to Islam because it's based on deception. So the Prophet ﷺ knew that this was not going to happen overnight. He knew that he had to be patient because Allah said to him, وَاصْبِرْ لِحُكْمِ رَبِّكَ, and be patient with the command of your Lord, with the way Allah allows things to unfold. Be patient. إِنَّا نَحْنُ نَزَّلْنَا عَلَيْكَ الْقُرْآنَ تَنْزِيلًا فَاصْبِرْ لِحُكْمِ رَبِّكَ. We have sent down upon you the Quran, so be patient with the command of your Lord and the orders of your Lord. Patience. This beautiful and profound aspect of Islam that really constitutes, as many scholars said, half of Islam. Patience means strategy. It means insight. Awareness of the long-term results. Planting the seeds today for tomorrow, even if you don't live to witness them tomorrow. That's what patience means. And we need it. We need it in our personal life. We need it in the way we grow our children, raise them, and educate them and prepare them. We need it in the way we deal with our spouses. We need patience in the way we cultivate our hearts, because it doesn't happen overnight. Al-Imam Sufyan al-Thawri, he said, عَالَجْتُ نِيَّتِي 20 عَامًا حَتَّى اسْتَقَامَتْ لِي. The great scholar of a tabi'in, Sufyan al-Thawri, one of the greatest scholars of Islam ever, and the greatest worshippers, he said, I struggled, I wrestled with my intention for 20 years until it was set right. And we want to do it instantly. We miss out on the nature of things when we rush into things. And the scholars have a very clear rule that applies across the board and across many subjects. من استعجل الشيء قبل أوانه عوقب بحرمانه. He who hastens for a result or for a fruit before it's due, then he will be punished by being denied that fruit. That's how things work. People who become successful, people who achieve mastery and excellence, they have paid the price for that. In private, for years, hours of hard work, sleepless nights of hard work and dedication and research and skill and beating at their craft, until they got to this point where when you see them performing, it seems easy, but it looks that way because of the years and the decades probably of the hard work that they put into it. Then we get deceived by this, the appearance of things, that we think, oh, I can do this overnight. You can't, you have to pay the price. The Prophet ﷺ, after migrating to Medina, alayhi salam, there were a lot of challenges. The hypocrites started to pop up, and the hypocrites were people who were considered to be Muslim. From our time, we look at them, or they seem quite exposed and obvious. But for the Muslims at the time, they just blended in the Muslims. You couldn't tell who was a Muslim and who was the hypocrite. You couldn't tell. And that was a great menace and threat to the Muslims from behind. It set them up many times in the Battle of Uhud, and afterwards in the Battle of the Trench, and afterwards in the Battle of Tabuk, and so on and so forth, and it continues to eat at the Muslim society and Muslim nation. Yet the Prophet ﷺ did not resort to an immediate action, because he knew the damage of that would be greater than the benefit. When we approach our affairs and our matters of our ummah and our personal life and our social life with impatience, we sabotage them. We sabotage them. This is a life of test. Allah promised.
So we shouldn't be surprised when things go wrong. We shouldn't be put off when we don't get what we expect. That's the nature of this life. Now that doesn't mean that we are not going to meet success, that we're not going to meet comfort and ease. It happens. It has its place. But we should always be prepared for surprises, for disappointments, for suffering. Because that's the path to paradise. It's not about what happens. It's about your response to what happens. Is it a faith-based response? Or is it a self-centered response? Is it a response of patience and trust in Allah? Or is it a response of impatience and immaturity? This is a great aspect of Islam. And the Muslim history is full of examples like this. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he could have just gathered the Muslims and to attack Mecca, who killed his companions, who tried to murder him, who turned the whole Arabian Peninsula against him by creating lies about him. Just like lies are created about people of the truth all the time. Yet the Prophet ﷺ remained patient. He did not rush to any military attack whose consequences would mean more damage and more loss than benefit. And he knew on the long term that taking a patient approach would win more hearts and people would get to see the truth. And that's exactly what happened. So when he marched to Mecca 8 years later, the vast majority of the people of Mecca accept Islam. That's what the Prophet ﷺ wanted. And we know from the story of a Ta'if that Jibreel alayhi salam descended upon the Prophet ﷺ when he was in the most difficult moment of distress. And he said, I have the angel that's responsible for the mountains on earth. And Allah has commanded him to fulfill your wish. If you want, Allah could cause the two mountains of Mecca to collapse on the people and destroy them. And the Prophet ﷺ said, no. No. Hopefully, they will come from their descendants, from their progeny, from their children, from their grandchildren. There will come people who would say, La ilaha illallah. And it became a reality. So, as a Muslim, we are supposed to think with basira and sabr, this kind of long-term vision, and this patience for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. People think that this kind of enthusiasm that is free from all control and from all reason and from all dignity, they think this is a sign of passion for the ummah. That's moral confusion. It's moral confusion. We started to try to implement Islam and support the cause of Islam with the morality of the non-Muslims who don't have a sound moral system. They don't have a timeless moral system. It's more about pragmatism. Whatever the trends stipulate, whatever is more popular. And a lot of their morality is a facade. A lot of it is just some sort of pretense rather than a reality. Doesn't have real substance. And we've seen in the recent times how the hypocrisy is so clear and evident. We've seen it. How thousands upon thousands of children and women and helpless civilians are being bombarded and killed. And then, what? Still no one is making any decision. Still no one is even acknowledging a genocide of innocent people. They are complicit and they are part of it. All of that reveals the truth. And these are lies that we have swallowed. We have believed in. So it's time that we actually turn more to Islam, to the values of Islam, to the practicality of Islam. And as I said, this helps us as an ummah. If you really care about your Muslim brothers and sisters who are dying and who are being killed and being targeted, you have to know first and foremost, as Allah says, وَلَا يَزَالُونَ يُقَاتِلُونَكُمْ حَتَّى يَرُدُّوكُمْ عَنْ دِينِكُمْ إِنِ اسْتَطَاعُوا. And they will still fight you until they push you away from your religion. That's what Allah says. Forget about all these geopolitical analysis, all of that stuff is on the surface. These are situational technicalities. The reality is, the reason innocent people are being killed today, yesterday, and tomorrow will be for Allah. Because they believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because they know Islam is the only way of life and system that is resistant to the modern deception and the ideologies that destroy humanity. They know Islam and the Muslims, when they truly adhere to Islam, they are the only obstacle in the face of that destruction of humanity and the demoralization of humanity. They know it, but they camouflage it with political arguments and with other stuff. It's important for Muslims to be able to call a spade and understand why things are happening. And this is, as we said, helps us, not as an ummah only, but also helps us as individuals. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه. الحمد لله رب العالمين الصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين وبعد. As we take care of our own hearts and our worship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are in the month of Sha'ban, where we should get ready for the month of Ramadan. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would not fast any month in the year more than he would fast in the month of Sha'ban, obviously second after Ramadan. And he says, this is a month, يَغْفُلُ عَنْهُ كَثِيرٌ مِّنَ النَّاسِ. Most people don't pay attention to it. Most people are not aware of it. And this shows the strategic approach that Ramadan is the time to reap the fruit. So you should prepare yourself from now. From now. The companions, radiallahu anhum, 6 months after Ramadan, they would make dua that Allah accepts Ramadan from them. And then the 6 months before Ramadan, they would start calling upon Allah to help them make it to the month of Ramadan, help them fast and worship during the month of Ramadan, and accept the upcoming Ramadan from them. That's strategy. And that's patience. They know where to put their attention. They knew where to put their attention. And we should be something like that. As you prepare yourself, as you purify your heart, as you engage in worship, many people think, oh, how can you engage in worship? How can you engage in lessons? How can you just read Quran and talk about tafsir and talk about the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when Muslims are being dying? So what do you want to do? If you don't see the connection, the strong connection between these, you don't know your religion and you shouldn't open your mouth. These people are dying for Allah. And if you want to change things, it starts with you connecting to Allah truly. And if you don't, you have to know you are a burden. You are a burden on that cause rather than an asset. وَمَن نَصْرُ إِلَّا مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ. It starts with you. If you don't set your affairs right, you know, you realize that you are actually creating a void in the strength of this ummah. Whether you know how it works out or you're not aware of how it works out. And this is not just an empty kind of forced logic. This is a reality that is obvious. But when we think in secular terms, we don't see it. So be patient with yourself. In your relationship with the Quran, build it slowly. It doesn't happen overnight. Keep working on it. Don't give up on it when you don't achieve the results you want. Don't be hasty. The same applies with your salah. The same applies with your fast. The same applies with your qiyam. The same applies with your zakah and your sadaqah. And then when dealing with your spouse, be patient. They're not going to be the ideal person, but you have to help them become a better person. You have to help them. They don't have to be. You have to help them, and they have to try their best. It goes both ways. With your kids as well. We don't think strategically for our kids. We throw them in school. We throw them in activities. And we're surprised when there are teenagers or grown adults and they're confused in life. Of course, as we said, you can't reap the fruit of a tree whose seed you have not planted. We can't just make our parenthood some kind of a side job. It doesn't work like this. You can't make your religion a side thing in your life. It doesn't work like this. Your life should be infused with the love of Allah, devotion to Allah. That's how this life should work, and this is how it works. Then as a community, when we want to change things, it takes time. We need patience. Change is difficult. There will be resistance. And finally, I want to close with one thing. There's a project that, alhamdulillah, Masjid Abu Hurairah took care of and took special care of. And this was a project that really particularly impressed me in the longevity of it and the long-term vision of it. And that's the Ihsan School and the Ihsan Social Development Project in Bangladesh. And they have their charity here in Canada. They have been doing tremendous work long-term, taking care of the girls in impoverished areas in Bangladesh, providing them with Islamic education. They teach them the Quran from a young age. They teach them Islamic sciences and studies from a young age. And then they provide them with vocational training so that when they graduate from school, they are able to provide for themselves and their families. That's a long-term vision. Because these girls, and they have, I believe, at the moment, 300 girls and 100 orphans that they sponsor fully. It's an impressive project. And it looks at the long-term results. So that when those people, these are going to be the mothers of the future. And this is something that is definitely worth contributing to. They are our guests today, and they are collecting funds for that. And what I would say about this is such an impressive project, because think about each one of those girls when she grows to become a hafidah of the Quran, someone who knows the Quran, someone who is trained and who is cultivated on Islamic etiquettes and character. And then she's able to support herself and her family. She becomes the mother, and she's going to pass on that knowledge and this character to her children. Let's say in average she's going to have 3 to 4 children. Then it's going to pass on to generations and generations. You're helping them in their livelihood, not being in need of other charities, or they don't need to beg for money. They can provide for themselves, and they can educate their family and their children. This is how you build a nation. And we here, we should learn from this. Wallahi, we should learn from this. And alhamdulillah, we have a good level. Generally speaking, the Muslim, you know, organizations, the Muslim centers. Here at Abu Hurairah, you have the Quran school, you have the Hifz school, the weekend school, and a lot of the educational programs. With all of the limitations that you find here, because people are busy and because of the kids are busy, but still they're trying their best and they're achieving great results. These are the kind of projects that you really contribute in. Why? Because it reminds me here of the hadith, and I'm going to close with this hadith. The Prophet ﷺ says, "من تصدق ولو بتمرة من كسب طيب فإن ولا يقبل الله إلا الطيب فإن الله يأخذها بيمينه ويربيها لصاحبها كما يربي أحدكم فلوه حتى تَكُونَ مِثْلَ الْجَبَلِ رَوَاهُ الْبُخَارِي وَمُسْلِمِ The Prophet ﷺ said that if some of you gives just a little, because sometimes people say, I don't have much to give, give the little, as much as one date, one piece of date, you give it for the sake of Allah, from a good source of income, halal income, and Allah only accepts what's good. Allah takes it with His right hand, and then Allah grows it and takes care of it as you grow the young horses in your horse farm. And anyone who knows about horse farm, a child, like a small horse, a young horse is born out of nothing, out of the mother. That's it. You don't manufacture them. There's no, you know, material that you need to bring together. It just take care of the mother, and then you have a horse. And then it could grow into a huge value today, sometimes in the millions of good horses. So Allah takes care of it until it becomes more like a mountain. And look at that something. You get to help to feed a poor girl from a poor family, from a poor area, and educate them and help them, give them a tool to handle this life and to earn a decent and honorable living. And then they grow up to be a mother, to be a constructive part of that Muslim society. And they pass that on to generations. Imagine how much reward is getting multiplied. So invest in this project. Please help them out with all you can. And consider this to be, as we said, that something, an installment that you give to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that you will get returned to you multifold on the day of judgment. So help them out. And I believe as well, they have tomorrow a fundraising dinner as well. So ask them, inquire. The brothers will be at the doors, inshallah. Ask them about the details. اللهم اغفر للمؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات اللهم اغفر لنا ذنوبنا وإسرافنا في أمرنا وثبت أقدامنا وانصرنا على القوم الكافرين اللهم اغفر لنا ولوالدينا ولمن لهم حق علينا برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم أبرم لهذه الأمة أمر رشد يعز فيه أهل طاعتك ويذل فيه أهل معصيتك ويعمل فيه بكتابك وسنة نبيك صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم كن للمستضعفين من المؤمنين في كل مكان اللهم ارحم ضعفهم اللهم اجبر كسرهم اللهم كن لهم يا ذا الجلال والإكرام اللهم إن البلاء قد اشتد عليهم ولا ناصر لهم إلا أنت اللهم كن لهم ناصرا ومعينا اللهم فرج عنهم اللهم انصرهم رحماك بأمتك يا بأمة نبيك يا ذا الجلال والإكرام سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين